There's a moment every flight instructor knows. You're in the right seat, your student has just leveled off from a climb, and their hands are working constantly. Nudging the yoke back, pushing it forward. Back again. The nose is hunting. The altitude is wandering, they're concentrating so hard their jaw is tight. And the whole time you're watching that little trim wheel just sitting there, untouched. You say it quietly, "Have you tried trimming that out?" And they look at you like you just handed them a secret. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going deep on trim. Not just what trim is, you already know that much after the first lesson. We're talking about trim discipline, the habit of using it consistently in every phase of flight until it becomes second nature. Because that's the difference between a pilot who wrestles the airplane and a pilot who simply flies it. Before we get into it, quick shout out to AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey, first solo, private certificate, instrument rating, commercial. There's a coin for each of them, and they're a real way to mark the milestones that actually mean something. AviationSoul.com. Alright, let's talk about trim. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Trim is not a luxury, it is not a convenience feature, it is a fundamental flight control. The whole point of the trim system, whether you're turning a wheel, pressing a hat switch, or moving a tab on the trailing edge of the elevator, is to relieve you of the need to hold a constant pressure on the primary controls. When you're trimmed correctly, you should be able to take your hands off the yoke or the stick, and the airplane holds its attitude with no input from you. That is the target. Hands off. Airplane flies itself. When that is happening, you are trimmed. When it is not happening, you are not. Now, the reason this matters so much is workload. Flying an airplane is not just about keeping the wings level and the nose where you want it, you also have to navigate, communicate, monitor your engine instruments, watch your fuel, look outside for traffic, brief your approach, talk to air traffic control, set up your avionics. The list goes on. Every bit of mental energy you spend fighting a control pressure is mental energy you're not spending on those other things. A pilot who is constantly pushing or pulling to hold attitude is a pilot who is working hard to do very little. A pilot who trims and flies hands off is a pilot with a free hand and a free mind. That is the real payoff. So let's walk through this together, phase by phase. Takeoff. The trim should be set before you ever advance the throttle. For most training aircraft, that is roughly neutral or perhaps slightly nose up, depending on the specific airplane and the guidance in the pilot's operating handbook. The Cessna 172, the Piper Cherokee, most of the trainers you're going to fly, they will have a takeoff trim setting recommended. Some airplanes mark it on the trim indicator, others you will learn through repetition. Setting takeoff trim matters because when you rotate, the airplane should want to climb without you having to heave back on the yoke. A properly trimmed rotation is smooth. An improperly trimmed rotation means you're either fighting it back or the nose is trying to bury itself. Neither is what you want at 60 knots with runway disappearing behind you. Now you're climbing. This is where trim discipline becomes immediately obvious. As you establish your climb attitude and your climb power setting, there will be pitch pressure on the controls. In most single-engine trainers, climbing generates nose-down elevator pressure. The airplane wants to pitch down below your climb attitude. You're holding it up with back pressure. Here is the mistake students make. They think, "I will just hold it." And they do hold it, for the entire climb, which might be 5 minutes to pattern altitude or 20 minutes to cruise altitude, their hand is working the whole time. They are tired before they level off. The correct habit is this. Once you are established in the climb, attitude set, airspeed stable, trim out the pressure, roll the trim wheel or press the hat switch until the pressure goes away. Until the yoke is neutral in your hand, until you could let go and the airplane would hold the attitude, then leave it there. If the airspeed wanders slightly and you make a small pitch correction, trim again. Trim follows every sustained control input. That is the rule. If you are holding pressure, you are not trimmed. Level off at cruise altitude. This is the classic teaching moment. You nose over from the climb. You let the airspeed build to cruise. You reduce power to the cruise power setting. And now there is a different pressure, usually nose up pressure at cruise. Because the airplane was trimmed for climb and now it wants to pitch up. Trim it out. Establish cruise attitude. Let the speed stabilize. Then trim. Some instructors teach pitch, power, trim as the sequence for any attitude change. That is a solid framework. You set the attitude, you set the power, then you trim to remove the pressure. Every time. And here is something worth understanding about why the pressure changes at all. The trim system is essentially setting the equilibrium point of the elevator. At any given airspeed, power setting, and configuration, the airplane has a natural pitch tendency. Trim moves the elevator trim tab or adjusts the stabilizer, so that the elevator is in the position that holds the desired attitude at zero control force. Change the airspeed, you change the pressure. Change the power, you change the pressure. Lower the flaps, you change the pressure. Every configuration change is a cue to retrim. Flaps are a big one. Students extend the first notch of flaps on downwind, and suddenly there is a pitch change. Maybe nose up, maybe nose down, depending on the airplane. They are surprised by it. They fight it with the primary controls. The answer is to trim it out. Every flap extension is an invitation to reach for the trim. Now let me talk for a minute about the two types of trim systems you will encounter most often in training aircraft. The first is the manual trim wheel, which is exactly what it sounds like. A wheel usually mounted on the center console between the seats that you roll forward or aft. More turns forward means more nose down trim. More turns aft means more nose up. The Cessna line uses this extensively. It is tactile, simple, and reliable. The second is the electric trim, usually a hat switch on the top of the yoke. Press the top half to trim nose up. Press the bottom half to trim nose down. Many of the newer trainers and most complex aircraft use electric trim. The Piper Aero, various retractables, glass cockpit aircraft, same principle, different mechanism. Here is a practical difference worth knowing. Electric trim is faster and easier to reach, which means students use it, but it also moves quickly, which means students can over-trim without realizing it. You press that hat switch for a half second too long and you have moved well past where you needed to be. The manual wheel gives you more feel for how much you have moved. Neither is better overall, but be aware of the difference when you transition between aircraft types. And while we are on the subject of electric trim, a word about runaway trim, it is rare, but it happens. Runaway trim means the electric trim system activates uncommanded and continues to run, moving the elevator to an extreme position. If you're in an airplane with electric trim and you suddenly feel a strong pitch force that was not there before, and the airplane starts pitching without your input, suspect runaway trim. The response is to grab the controls firmly, overpower the trim, and find and use the trim circuit breaker or the electric trim cutout switch. Most airplanes have one. Know where it is before you need it. The pilot's operating handbook for your aircraft will walk you through the emergency procedure. This is not a reason to be afraid of electric trim. It is just a reason to know your airplane. Okay, back to normal operations. Descent, same principle. You pull the power back for descent, or you start a descent from cruise. The power reduction in most trainers will create a pitch down tendency. You have to hold some back pressure to maintain your glide angle. You could hold it, or you could trim it out and fly hands off. Trim it out. Approach is where this really matters. Think about what is happening on final approach. You are managing airspeed. You're on glide path. You're looking at the runway. You're monitoring wind correction. You may be talking to a tower. You might be running a checklist. You're busy. The last thing you need is to also be holding a sustained pressure on the elevator to maintain the pitch attitude for your approach speed. If you're trimmed correctly for the approach, you can let the yoke go and the airplane holds roughly on glide path at approach speed. Not perfectly, because air is never perfectly still, but close enough that the corrections you make are small and light, not constant and forceful. When your approach requires heavy continuous input, one of two things is true. Either conditions are genuinely rough or you're not trimmed. Most of the time, it is the latter. Now let me address the thing instructors hear all the time. I do not want to trim on approach because if I have to go around, the trim will be set wrong. I hear this. I understand the logic. It is wrong. Here is why. When you initiate a go-around, you're adding full power, pitching to climb attitude, and cleaning up the configuration. That is a dynamic, active maneuver. You're going to be making control inputs regardless. The trim might be slightly nose down for approach, and now you're climbing, so yes, there is some back pressure. That is fine. You're a pilot. You're flying the airplane. You're not going to be overwhelmed by the normal back pressure of a go-around in a Cessna 172. What actually hurts you on a go-around is being behind the airplane. Being distracted by a heavy sustained pressure on short final because you refuse to trim is more dangerous than having to hold some back pressure during a go-around that lasts 15 seconds before you can retrim for climb. Trim on approach. It is the right call. All right, the hands-off test. Here is how I teach trim to every student. At any stable phase of flight, lift your hand off the yoke. Keep it right there, inches away, close enough to grab in a half second. Just do not touch it. Watch the airplane. If the attitude stays within a degree or two and the airspeed barely moves, you are trimmed. Good. If the nose starts to rise or fall, you are not trimmed. Reach back for the trim, make the adjustment, and try again. I have students do this in every phase of flight. Climb, cruise, descent, approach. We practice it until they can establish any configuration and trim it out without conscious thought. Until the trim wheel is as natural as adjusting the throttle, until they instinctively reach for it after every power change, every flap extension, every configuration shift. It takes a few hours of deliberate practice before it feels automatic. But once it does, your flying changes. The airplane stops being something you fight, and starts being something you fight, and starts being something you direct. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. Trim is also a feedback instrument. If you have made a pitch correction, held it for a few seconds, and the airplane is stable in the new attitude. But you are still holding pressure, that pressure is telling you something. It is telling you the airplane wants to be somewhere else. That is information. If you want to stay where you are, trim it so the airplane agrees. The presence of sustained control pressure is always a cue to act. The absence of control pressure is the goal. Let me say something about the practical test. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate evaluate trim directly. Under flight at various airspeeds, the ACS wants you to trim the aircraft to maintain a specified configuration. Under climbs and descents, trim is expected. The examiner is looking for a pilot who is not working hard to hold the airplane. A pilot who uses trim correctly looks relaxed. A pilot who does not looks like they are arm wrestling the airplane on a rough day even when the air is glass smooth. The ACS tolerances for cruise flight are plus or minus 100 feet altitude and plus or minus 10 knots airspeed. For most students, those tolerances feel tight early in training. Proper trim makes them feel manageable. Without trim, they are almost impossible to maintain consistently. One final note: know when not to trim. Short final in gusty conditions is one example. If you're getting bumped around, if your speed is varying 15 or 20 knots between gusts, then trimming constantly is counterproductive. You are chasing conditions that are changing faster than you can respond. In that case, a slightly nose-up trim and active hands-on flying is correct. Trim is a tool for stable conditions. In genuinely rough air, manage with the primary controls and accept some sustained pressure as the price of the conditions. But that is the exception. The rule for 90% of your flying is trim for hands-off flight, then fly with light inputs. Here is a practice exercise to take with you. On your next flight, after every power change, say it out loud. Just say trim. It feels a little silly the first few times, but it builds the association in a way that thinking it does not quite do. Power change means trim. Flap extension means trim. Configuration change means trim. After three or four flights of narrating it to yourself, your hand will just go there without the prompt. Some students put a small sticky note on the panel. Have you trimmed? It works. Use whatever builds the habit. Once the habit is there, it sticks. Trimmed pilots stay trimmed. The discipline becomes invisible because it is fully integrated into how they fly. That is the goal. I pulled the technique references from the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook, and the test standards come straight from the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards. Both are free at faa.gov. Find them, read them. I'm Pattern. Fly smooth out there.